Let's switch to English.
Let's switch to English.
Welcome. Today we have Natalie as a guest in her own podcast.
Hello.
And I have the honor to interview today so that you people out there, you can learn a little bit more about Natalie, why she's here, why we are here, why we are doing or why she is doing what she's doing right here. To learn a little bit more. And so the question is always where to start, and there are many possibilities. So yeah. I would like to start with the question, really, why are you here and why are you going out for Yugo Sisters?
Where do I start? That's always the question. I think this topic that we're trying to bring into the world with Yugo Sisters is a topic that has been in my life for so long, ever since I was a little girl. I think the first time I got confronted with it, probably not even knowing that this was like gonna turn into all of this, was when I was 10, when me and my family, we moved back to Frankfurt, Germany from New York. And I was, I'm just gonna bluntly say this, I was bullied in school. Like, it wasn't fun. It was horrible. It sucked being different. And that was something that people would always put on me, because the biggest issue there and then was that I knew how to speak English because I grew up in New York, and then living in New York was a problem. So for a while, I wouldn't even tell people that I used to grow up in New York because I was so ashamed. I was so ashamed, and I was scared of how people would react, because every time I would say this to someone, I would get bullied for it in a really brutal way. And I had girlfriends, you know, close, best girlfriends, as we all do, and they switched through really, really fast. And then it just kept on growing, this inner need of wanting to be wanted, you know? Mm-hmm. So for me, at one point, I was just like, oh my God, I need to make everyone like me. Everyone needs to know that I'm a cool person. I'm easy. I'm flowy. I'm super cool, you know? It's like, mm-hmm. what the hell does that even mean? Looking back on it now. But I was, honestly, that was my mission in school after a while. It was like, be everybody's darling. Just make everyone happy. Then you won't get bullied. You'll fit in. Because that was always the biggest problem for me. I never felt like I fitted in. I always felt like this chair that you place in the middle of a room, and everyone was standing in this room looking at this chair, not knowing what to do with it. Like, why is this chair there? Is somebody going to stand on it? Is there going to be a performance? Do we need to bring more chairs? What's happening with this chair? And that was always my inner life. I never really felt, coming back to Germany, I never really felt part of this culture. It was really, really hard for me to adapt, and I tried in many, many different ways. I mean, my parents, they did not have an easy time with me when I was in puberty. Like, I tried everything. I was a skater girl at one point. I went up to like the like being this like wannabe super new rich girl, you know, and then I was emo. I went into this like totally gangster phase. I had a hip hop phase. And this transition happened in 2 months, you know, like it wasn't like half a year. Okay, we're getting used to this. No, like it happened every 2 months. I would develop into some other human being just to figure out who I was, because I never really felt that I was good enough for anyone. And yeah, it carried through for a really long time. It was mirrored in a lot of my like romantic relationships I had and a lot of friendships I had. And for me, I don't know, like I wanted to impress people, even people that I didn't like. Where I was like, well, who the hell cares if what this person thinks of me, you know, and what they say about me? I don't even like them, but it was so important to me because I just felt like I needed to be part of something. And when I came to Vancouver for my acting, it was so different. Like all of a sudden, I wasn't, I was so, I was terrified at the beginning, not because I moved into a city where I didn't know anybody. I've never been to this city. It was because people accepted me for who I was, and I didn't need to put on this show or be this entertainment center for everyone, you know? Like, I didn't need to be everybody's darling, because also, it's boring. It's so freaking boring, like, trying to please everyone. I love about human beings that we're so different, you know? That we always have these edges, and that's what makes you, you know? And we try to cover them up with filters, or we try to put them on, like the freckle filter, you know? It's so weird what we do to try to fit in and be part of something, when all you need to actually do, and this sounds easier than it actually is, but is be part of yourself. Yeah. And find an authentic way to be part of yourself. And in Vancouver, that was, for me, a huge transformation, just because maybe I was lucky, it could also be, but the people that I was surrounded with, and ever since then I'm still surrounded by, they gave me the chance to just be me. And I didn't get confronted with questions like, so what's your job? How much money do you earn? How much do you spend on your rent? It was genuinely asking, how are you? How often do we sit somewhere and ask someone, how are you? And not even listen to what the person says, or we just wait for them to ask how we are so that we can just, you know, blur out all our emotional baggage that we have on our back. And in Vancouver, I just made the experience that people actually started caring about me. And and that made me want to care about myself as well, you know? So that's kind of how that transition started. And I noticed, okay, I want to change something. So in Vancouver, I created this group called Sisterhood of Vancouver. And that was mostly just based for female artists in any way. So if you were or are, it still exists, and it's part of Hugo Sisters as well. It's if you're a painter, a musician, actor, sculptor, whatever, any creative thing. I built this like little thing, this group where women could get together no matter what, how old they are, where they're from, religion, nobody cares. It was all about the craft and to just network and find each other, because that was a different problem there than it is here in Munich right now, that people did have the confidence to be themselves in Vancouver because it felt more accepting. Here, everyone's very much, you know, like elbows out, and it's my way or the highway. I'm going to make you drown and not put you in my own boat. Where I'm always like, we're all in the same boat. Let's paddle together. Because right now we're all swimming in this huge freaking ocean. Just looking at the other, seeing how far that person's getting. And then when I came back to Munich, I had some really horrible experiences as an actress, where I would have a casting and another actress would just call me up and be like, hey, the casting got relocated, just so you know. And it didn't.
Yeah.
And it was just to make sure that I wouldn't be there, because, you know, she was scared of me taking that role away from her. And I was like, that mindset is so fucked up.
Wow.
Like, it can't be. This isn't how it's supposed to be. I get that there are so many male roles, not enough female roles, but this isn't how it should be. We should try to support each other or create something together to change it. And I think that's where it came from. I was so sick and tired, especially in that phase of like being everybody's darling or trying to be everybody's darling, to always make everyone happy and complain, you know, like, ugh, they don't like me, if they only knew, but it's always they. It was always they, these people, what are they saying? Instead of, hey, what can I do? Instead of sending my energy towards what they're doing, what can I do to change the situation instead of just sitting in my shit and complaining about it? And that's something where my heart really sits with Hugo Sisters. I just really want to give people the opportunity, especially women, to see, hey, you're not alone in this. Like, there are a lot of women out there who have gone through what you're going through. And There's so much out there to explore and see and nourish yourself with, you know? And mostly it just starts with listening. You just need to listen to the other person, because that's also something that we learn as actors. If you listen, you're not making it about yourself. No, you actually, you pay attention to what the other person is giving you, and then you can see, hey, what can I use? What did I just learn? Instead of judging that person that's in front of you, maybe even just because you're insecure and that person intimidates you, which has happened to me multiple times. And apparently this happens to people when they talk to me a lot, where I obviously still try to compensate, right? Like I still try to please people because the habit is still there. But it's a process. And I think as soon as you accept that it's a journey, and it took a long while for me to accept that that's a process and a journey. I am a so impatient person. Everything got easier. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. And then it just, I'm really excited that we both decided to go with You Go Sisters and bring that message out there.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, how did you get there from everything you described, struggling and working with this topics in this process? Like how did this process look like for you?
Honestly, I think the process started when I was like 24 and I applied to go to acting school. And for me, I mean, I also applied for London, but it was way too close, honestly. Like I actually needed to take myself out of the geographical equation and put myself someplace on the other side of the world, 9 hours time difference, 10 to 11 hours flight. I needed to be away from everything that I was here, not because it was bad and horrifying and terrible, but because I just felt this inner need where it was like, Nat, you need to do something. Like this isn't, you don't feel comfortable where you're at. You need to go someplace. And I mean, I've never, like I said, I've never been to Vancouver before. I figured it was going to be similar culture to the States. I knew I was going to be able to speak the language, but it was, I needed a clean slate. I was just, I need this new white piece of paper that I can write on and mess with and maybe crumple up, but it's my piece of paper, you know? And it's not like where other people would draw on or make it smaller or cut it up or whatever. So it was something where I was really, really lucky to have the support to like do that and to give myself the support. And it was great. I mean, the process was horrifying and it still is. And I am a stubborn ass, I will tell you. Like, it's not easy with me. And I wasn't used to reflecting as well. You know, like I could analyze people very, very well. I was always very interested in psychology. But actually having to do that with myself and take on the responsibility for myself and my actions and what I'm saying to myself, and not being able to be like, oh, this came because, I don't know, I was brought up this way or this person did this to me. I was in an environment where I knew nobody and nobody knew me. There was no finger pointing. Mm-hmm. And I remember there was this one class we had. It's called a scene study. And my acting teacher, Duncan, who I cherish so, so much, he's still a very close mentor of mine. He made me, and I say made me because I never used to do this, he made me say 3 good things about myself. And I wasn't able to do that. Like I was always constantly talking about how great of a friend I am. Like I was always projecting it to someone else or on someone else. And at one point, he was just like, Nat, you need to say something good about yourself. And for me, it felt forever. Like, I felt like we were in this room for 8-9 hours. Obviously, this whole thing probably only lasted, 7 minutes, if even. But at one point, he just looked at me. He's like, look where you're standing now. And I looked around where I was at, and I noticed I wasn't in the center of the room anymore where I started off. I actually backed up into a corner, hitting my hand, and I was just standing there. And that was like, I mean, this is This is like a psychological field trip, if you want, you know, like that was how I saw myself. Like I wasn't worth talking about. I didn't want to put the burden onto someone to actually let them know how I'm feeling because I actually didn't know how I was feeling. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of emotions in me and sometimes I can't really place them. I can't set them. I can't identify them because it's so, so much, but also because I'm so not used to dealing with them, which is hilarious because I'm an actor and I need to, you know, portray emotions and feel them. And I think actually that's also why I got into acting, because it's so much easier for me to do it for someone else, right? Yeah, so it's a different role. I don't have to like do it myself.
Yeah, sure.
I'm not putting myself on the line. So I was like, he's like, do you notice what you're doing? You need to change it. And I was stubborn, as I said, and I was like, you don't know me. You only know me. You've only known me for a month now. Like, what do you know? And he just looked at me. He's like, oh, great. She's like, I am when I was younger. And then, yeah, he gave me my time, which was good. And from that point on, things started to change. And he was like, Nat, you're sitting in this golden cage that you built for yourself. And you're in it. But because you built it, you have the key to get out. And that was really hard for me to understand at the beginning because I was like, what the fuck do you know? You know, it's like, you don't know me. You don't know how I grew up. You don't know what like happens in Germany, which is obviously ridiculous. But yeah, just getting over yourself and seeing, yeah, I want to find that key. And that's what happened. I started looking for this key. Everything after that, it started shifting because I noticed, oh my God, it's just within me. And as easy as that might sound, and maybe cheesy as well, but I just needed to learn to trust who I am. And then all these fears of being successful, of people actually liking me and for who I am and not for who they want me to be or who they think I could be or could, you know, portray or whatever. Mm-hmm. It started to fall off. And I like the school, Vancouver Film School, was so great because they also had a therapist who helped you go through all these traumas that always come up. If you're in acting school, everything gets ripped up. And sometimes shit comes up you didn't even remember because it's so buried down. And therapy really, really helped me because she just showed me. She's like, hey, if you really want to go down this path, you're going to need to be confident because there's going to be a lot of stuff that's going to be thrown at you. Your ego is going to be placed in weird angles and directions and people are going to shoot at you from all angles possible. You need to figure out how you're going to deal with that. And you can't do that if you don't trust in yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's where it kind of started. So when I came back to Germany, I went to a therapist here. I took on coaching. I continue to write almost every day. I dance like crazy in the living room. I sing in the car like nobody cares. I don't know. I do a lot of sports just because it helps me. And funny enough, it's always when your body's involved, right? Because mm-hmm. then something moves inside you. And I'm a firm believer that we have energies in us. And if we keep on compressing them, at one point, they're just going to explode. And that's what happened to me at one point in acting school. But that's also my process till now. I feel like, you know, it's like a Jackson Pollock picture or painting. If you want, you start off with this white paper or white sheet or whatever you want to call it. And then you get paint thrown all over it. And this paint comes from society, comes from parents, it comes from friends, siblings, lovers, friends, culture and whatever. And you always have these little spots that are white and innocent and untouched and whatever. And you just need to figure out what happens. Like they collide and the colors mesh up and turn into a different color. Yeah. And I think that's what's always important to know that, yeah, this is like, it's not what happened to you, you know? It's like, yeah, this is where you're coming from, but it's what you make of it.
Yeah.
And I think that was like the biggest deal for me at one point where I was also looking at kids. Like I love talking to kids because they're so simple. Like they're so brutally honest. they will never not say the truth unless they want chocolate or something, right? But you always know when they're lying. And I just love talking to kids because they're, yeah, as I said, they're simple and easy, and they have this way of life where it's, where you notice, okay, it's not all about you. There's so much, so much more. And that's actually what I really love about life in general and getting into a conversation with people, like the curiosity that you can bring in and actually learn from a different person if you open up and accept the fact that nobody's perfect, because who wants to be perfect? And we're all supposed to be how we are, you know, like tall or small or tiny or petite, mm-hmm. or maybe we're like super feminine and nice and curvy, and maybe we have like beautiful wavy hair, maybe we have beautiful straight hair, maybe we don't even have hair, you know, maybe you have the freckles, maybe you don't, or you put on the freckle filter, whatever. But I feel as soon as we accept that we're here because we're supposed to be us, like ourselves, I think that was the key for mm-hmm. allowing me to get out of that cage. And sometimes it's better. Like sometimes like the cage is still there. Like I still fly in there, and sometimes I get scared and I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna close the door. See you guys later, you know? But knowing that you can always trust yourself no matter what happens is for me the key to life, because it makes everything so much easier because you know you're gonna get through it.
Beautiful, beautiful. And I have to say that I really appreciate you being so inspirational for me, for example, because for me, you are the explorer. You are going out there and you explore things, and not only with your head, but as you said, with your gut feeling, and you listen to yourself and you guide yourself through this whole process, and it looks very playful and exploring, open. And also what you said, that sometimes you ask yourself, okay, what do I feel like? Okay, I feel like dancing now, I feel like writing, that you also go mm-hmm. with this flow. And I think this is something very important for us all to understand, that it doesn't always have to be like that formal. And yeah, I need to go to that yoga session or dancing class now to explore. Yeah, that I can also do it in the Absolutely. Small things, like how I'm washing my dishes and things like yeah. that. That you are going in this exploration mode also with your acting experience, of course. I mean, from you, I learned something about this whole... Yeah, education to become an actor. And when I heard it, I just thought, fuck, everybody should do it. You know, it's like, we don't need to go
a lot of people do it.
Maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's do this. Let's explore ourselves and all our emotions, the whole mm-hmm. package we have. So... yeah, that we get to know each other and can get mm-hmm. in the driver's seat regarding yeah. all this.
Oh, absolutely. A driver's seat, but also sometimes, you know, it's also good to be in the passenger seat. And I think that's something that I really needed to learn, because I was in the driver's seat before I even had a license, you know? It was like, it's like I need to take control of every situation possible, and I need to perfection it. And that really killed me, because I didn't want to let go. And sometimes just sitting in the passenger seat, or even the back seat, or I don't know, put yourself on a skateboard on the back and just let someone else drive, and you just get the fresh air back there, you know? It's what I learned is the change of perspective is going to help you in so many ways. And as soon as I realized for myself that this isn't just about me, and everyone has their own truth, and everyone feels what they are feeling, and even if I might say, oh my God, I don't understand this, for them it makes sense. And I think that's especially with Hugo Sisters, you know, it's a goal of mine to maybe like let women in and see how beautiful we all are. And I'm not talking about looks, I'm talking about souls, and how much there is in all of us in every way. I mean, I just looking back when I was younger, it was horrifying to look in the mirror. I mean, yeah, I had acne and my hair was all over the place and like my eyebrows were, I have no idea what happened up there. It's like Woodstock up there, you know, but but it was, I didn't feel like I was supposed to be part of anything, you know? I was always like, who would want me? And I feel this with Hugo Sisters, if you just like sit in the passenger seat and let somebody else drive and you let go of this perfectionism and mm-hmm. this kind of feeling of having to prove yourself constantly. Yeah. Just take a, I don't know, look outside, enjoy the view and breathe in what you see and feel and just let go. You can always go back and take the wheel, you know? But I feel like the balance of both of it is really what helps in that way.
Yeah, totally. I totally agree. And I would like to ask you, with all your experiences and everything you learned on your journey, mm-hmm. what's your message to all the women out there?
I think my message is like super plain and simple. It's just, you got this. As I said, I love talking to kids. They are just hanging out with them, not even talking. What I love about kids is they're so playful and they're so innocent in the sense of that they don't have this judgment placed upon them yet. So they just say how it is, you know? I mean, they come up to me and they're like, you have greasy hair. And I'm like, yeah, I know. Thank you for letting me know, you know? and they don't mean anything by it. It's just like they notice. And I think as soon as everyone who's listening notices the power that you have, and we all do, no one in this world is powerless, no one. I think as soon as I started telling myself, hey, Nat, you got this, and instead of batshitting myself the entire time, like, ugh, you should have done it like this, or you could have ended up like that, why didn't you do it like this, why didn't you say this? You know, it's always this constant negative feedback that I was giving myself, and I feel like a lot of women do that constantly. Just say you got this to yourself and start trusting in the wholeness that is within you.
Thank you so much for this reminder.
Yeah, thank you for letting me share.
And yeah, for this lovely interview. Yeah, taking us a little bit into who you are and what your life is about. So mm-hmm. yeah, that everyone out there can get to know you a little bit better. And of course, not only through this interview, I mean, we are on. And definitely. And so you will find new podcast episodes where it's not only about us, where it's also mainly about you. So mm-hmm. Yeah, feel free to reach out to us also if you think you want to be part of this podcast.
Absolutely.
And definitely follow us on Instagram, the Hugo Sisters. And we are also starting local neighborhoods like the Sisterhood of Munich, the Sisterhood of Barcelona. So, yeah, stay tuned with us. See you, I would say.
Yeah.
Thanks, Natalie.
Thank you.